Speaking of good human beings, I have the pleasure of introducing our guest speaker for today. Reverend Justice Miwanda is the Director of International Needs Uganda, which is responsible for programs that help marginalized women and children to escape extreme poverty. And what a wonderful coincidence that we are having him speak on this day where we are celebrating mothers and children. And so without any further ado, I'm just going to have a quick prayer for Pastor Justice, and then he'll share the word with us. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to pray that as Pastor Justice shares the word, shares his story, I pray that our hearts will be open to what you are calling each one of us to be and to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sorry. So I was saying, look at your watches, but the time is mine. And I'm going to do three things. I will talk about our work in Uganda. I will share a little bit of my testimony. And then lastly, I will bring God's word to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help me as I speak to share your word with the people here. Help me to be clear. And help me that my accent may not take the meaning of your word. But also help your people to listen and to be touched and to be transformed. To be challenged about walking with you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll start with our work. I work in Uganda with an organization called International Needs Uganda. Now, we partner with International Needs Australia to do work. Our ethos is to introduce men and women to God and to Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do through the different activities that we do. Now, in Uganda, we have many programs that we do. But as I said, the focus is introducing these people to Jesus Christ. Next, please. Am I pressing this or is there? Okay. Now, Uganda is in Africa. It's that small yellow patch. It looks like the heart of Africa. And it has 48 million people, and I always compare it with Australia, big as it is, with only 27 million people. What do you do with the other piece of land? Maybe I should bring some Ugandans to occupy it. So we have that many, and like you see, it is a landlocked country, surrounded by Kenya, South Sudan, Congo, Rwanda, and Tanzania. So that affects a lot our economy because we depend on the security in the other countries. And again, you see the blue part, that is Lake Victoria, the largest lake in Africa. It is in Uganda. The biggest part of it is in Uganda. Things that we struggle with poverty in Uganda, like you see the percentage. We struggle with child labor. I'm sorry about the word child employment. Employment sounds as if it is legal. It should be child labor. So we have many children who are not in school, who go into factories or stone quarries or sand or fishing village. They don't have anything apart from what they do for themselves. So we want to fight and reduce that as much as possible. School enrollment. We have a trend in my country that many children enroll at primary level, but by the time it reaches university, they are very few. They drop off because of many reasons. Some of them lose their parents as on the way. Some of them don't have good marks and they can't go on. Especially girls. Girls drop a lot off the educational ladder. They are forced into marriage, get pregnant, and they cannot go on. So we are fighting to reduce that. Accessibility to electricity is only 51, the other 49, they have no electricity. Actually, where I work in the village, people just don't have electricity. Then access to sanitation, that is water. Having Lake Victoria, you would imagine that everybody has safe water sources, but it's not. And the biggest number of diseases in Africa and in Uganda, where I come from, are due to lack of water or due to bad water. So we go and identify villages and drill wells there. And we have mainly four objectives. We want to reduce waterborne diseases. We want to reduce distances. Now, for a child to go to a well, she may have to go 5 kilometers to go to get water. So we want to reduce that to possibly 1 kilometer. 1 kilometer is still long, but we want to reduce. Thirdly, there are so many vices that could happen to a child as she goes to the well. Some of them are kidnapped, some of them are robbed, some of them sacrificed, anything. So we want to reduce those occurrences within our communities. And lastly, most of the work in Africa and the house are done by women. So you imagine a mother, she has to get food, she has to get firewood, she has to get water. So we want to reduce that distance and the burden that a mother has to address the chores in the home. Next, please. These are some of the other issues that we have to struggle with. Malnutrition, climate change, low agricultural productivity. Now, in my organization, we have 4 schools. And one time I asked one of the boys whether he had had breakfast that morning. And this boy was very smart. He told me, but even dinner we didn't have. And that is a representation of so many children. The food is just not there at home. So imagine this boy walking to school 7 kilometers, empty stomach. Most of them don't have shoes. When they sit in the class, what do you expect from them? So we are trying to fight that, to provide meals and food for these children. So we teach, like this lady, we teach her good and modern agricultural practices so that she can improve on the production of the food from her garden, so that she can provide something for the children, then the surplus she can sell, that she can have money to do other things. Now, we teach them on crops and animals. Some of them would give cows, chicken, goats, and or seeds for their crops. Next. Ooh, I always forget. Now, this is one of something I was talking about. 20 liters for them. So that's what we are trying to reduce. This is one of my schools. Now, the buildings, that would be a typical classroom in some of the villages that we are working with. Now, in my school, I have 900 children, and yesterday I was at Trinity Grammar School, and the largest class there, about 27 children. In my school, the largest class is 80 children, 80. Yeah, one teacher managing 80 children. So that's our school. Yeah, you can see that those are children in one class. They are squashed in there to get education. These boys are playing soccer. What we call it football. I don't know what you call it, but it's soccer. And this ball is made out of banana fibers. They don't have the benefit of having a leather ball. So they are creative. They make from banana leaves and banana fibers, and they make a ball. And they are happy to use that for playing. Yeah, these are some of the activities that International Needs is doing. We do education, we do health, and we do support those women that I talked about in farmers' groups. And it is easy for us to work with women, because women are passionate enough. When you give them money or anything, they will go back to their families. Don't ask me what the men do, but it has not been easy for us to work with men, because they have not been faithful enough when we give them resources or money. But we are trying to change that. So of the 2,000 farmers that we work with, 60% are women. But we have seen good result and success working with them. So the other program is education. We identify disadvantaged children. We have three categories of children that we work with. They must be orphaned or abandoned or children from large, poor families. So we take a picture and we send it here to Katie, and they go in churches, in schools, in families, and people support those children to get education. Now, as I came last Friday, I came with 32 cards of children. This is Samuel. This is a child in Uganda, in my village. It's not a computer manipulated picture. He's a real boy in my village. He's waiting when I go back to ask whether he got a sponsor, then he can go to school. Now, at $45 a month, you can support Samuel to go to school. Now, 45 to you sounds very little, but for us, that's a lot. From 45, I pay his tuition. I pay 2 meals for him at school. I pay for a uniform. I pay for the books and pens. And I also pay for his medical bills when he falls sick. So 45 sounds little, but it's a big thing for us as we support these children. And more so, our schools are Christian schools. These children hear about Jesus Christ on a daily basis. So we are glad to support. So there's a table there. I have displayed some of these cards. You are welcome to look at them. Pray if God tells you to pick anyone. You will be very happy if you did it. Now, these are some of the other good stories and success stories that we have heard. The man is growing maize after our intervention, and we gave a cow to her so she has milk. She can have breakfast for her children, and the surplus milk she sells to have some income. I told you about water. So when we go in a village, we drill a well. But if there are any schools in that village, we give them a tank so that they can harvest water from their roofs, or we help them to dig a pit latrine and that they can use them. So thank you very much. That is the work that I do. I have done it for the last 22 years. I feel so encouraged because in my school today I have 8 teachers who 10 years ago were sponsored children, but now they are on my staff. And I feel encouraged that, yeah, that's what we stand for. We want them to stand in life. Now, one of the motivation for me to do this work, and my grandmother was a very gracious woman. One time, she sat me down and told me how I came into being. My mother was only 16 when I was born. She was in school with my father. And she couldn't go on with education, and her parents were very cross about what she did. So they told her, you have to take that baby to her, to his family. Now that was cruel to tell a 16-year-old girl, because they wanted her to go back to school, but they could not look after her and also look after the child. So this girl walked 40 kilometers looking for my grandparents, the parents of my father. Fortunately, and I always say fortunately, she found my grandparents' home. Because if she didn't, the next alternative, the nearest one, would be dropping me in the bush or even in a pit latrine. That's what most girls do in Uganda. But she found my grandparents. Now, when she came to my grandfather, who was in the house alone, my grandmother was in the garden, she introduced herself that this baby belongs to one of your sons. And my grandfather had 8 sons. Yeah, that's really big. So my grandfather told her that you sit here in the living room, and then I go and I get my wife to come and receive their first grandchild in the house. So he went, came back with his wife, only to find the child and not the mother. And that was the end of my mother. So when you are talking about Mother's Day, for me, it doesn't make a lot of meaning. I missed growing with my mother. I didn't have that chance. And it still hurts me. It still hurts me. And my grandmother told me I was very sickly. I nearly died when I was young, but my grandmother, she's my mother. I call her my mother. She tried her level best to raise me, and she succeeded. She did. And when I became 5, my father finished training as a teacher, and he got married, but he did not marry my mother. So after his wedding, my grandparents told him, take your son. So I went and grew up with my father and my stepmother. At the age of 7, somehow my grandmother heard of the girl who had left a baby at her house. And she told my father that we have found Justice's mother. Can you send him to me and I take him there? And my grandmother took me to my mother and told me, this is your mother. I'm leaving you here for 2 weeks. I will come and pick you. And I said, no. Because for me, she was a stranger. And I refused. And I went back with my grandmother. Now, it had to take me another 7 years again to meet my mother. And this time, I asked my grandmother, can you give me directions to my mother? And she wrote on a simple paper, and she put me on a bus and told me, you reach this town, you get off, you ask for somebody called Gertrude. That is your mother. And when I reached the town, the first person I asked was her brother. And God just did it for me. So my uncle told me, yes, that is your mother. But don't ask that name, because she got married and got another name. When I reached her house, I don't know where I got the words, but I told my mother that I'm sorry. I don't miss you because you left me. My grandmother is my mother. So that was the first time I met my mother. Now, in my life, I have met my mother 5 times. Only 5. And the 5th time, my mother was dead. She was in a coffin. And that was hard for me. Because I had sort of forgiven her because of what she did. It was outside her control. But I had wanted to feel the warmth of a mother. I didn't get just. And I asked God, why did you take my mother so early? I had no answer. And after about 10 years, somebody came to my church and talked about international needs. And they said, we have 500 orphaned children. We want somebody to lead this work. It never happened to me that I will be the one. So this man, he was from England, he took me to this school, and he told me, would you do this work? I had shared him my testimony. And he said, I think you can do it. So when I came to this compound and I looked at these children, I remembered the question I had asked God. Why did you take my mother so early? And I got a very simple, naive answer and said, I wanted you to be prepared for this work. And I accepted. I know it would be maybe some other answer, but I said, God took my mother so that I could be prepared to look after these children. Now, at that time, there were 500 children. Now, there are 3,000 children. And I have enjoyed a wonderful 22 years looking after these children. In the beginning, I was very shy. I did not share my story with his children. I didn't. But about 15 years ago, I went to the chapel and I told these children, I want to tell you a story. And I told them. I felt released. I felt encouraged when I shared. I know some of them started crying like I'm crying. But I was encouraged that at least they know that the person who looks after them has been where they are. I understand them when they cry. I understand them totally because I have been there. So, I'm sorry about my tears. In my culture, men don't cry. But for me, I don't mind. I cry. Because it helps me a lot. When I was 14 years, that is when I accepted Jesus in my life. And actually, that was the biggest turning point in my life. Two things happened to me that time. One thing, my sins were forgiven. But the second one, I forgave my mother. I wanted just her to know that I forgave her. It is still emotional for me. I still miss her. I miss that relationship of a mother and a son, but I forgave my mother because of what she did. So, I want to invite you to Uganda. Come and see what we do. Or when you look at the work there, support me as we do this work. By doing that, you'll be helping my passion of not seeing more children crying because of their lost relationship with their parents. Now, I want to turn to the Bible, if you don't mind. When I was asked to speak here, they asked me, what theme do you give to your talk? My theme is, stay with us, Jesus. In the story of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to about 35, it's a story when Jesus had just risen from the dead. And there were these two men, the disciples, who had witnessed this, who maybe were close with Jesus, but now he was not there. So they decided to walk out of the town Jerusalem to go back to their village. One thing that is clear with these men, they were hopeless. They were disappointed. They were sad. But they had to go back to their village. Now, verse 15 of that portion says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and went along with them. This is one of my best verses in the Bible. That amidst their disappointment and hopelessness, their sadness, Jesus himself, he did not even send a representative, but himself came and walked along with them. I want to encourage someone in this congregation. You may be going through something very hard. It could be relational, it could be financial, it could be social, it could be political. You may be discouraged, disappointed. I want to encourage you. There is a Jesus who is ready to come and walk along with you. Unfortunately, as Jesus walked with these men, the next verse says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. It's typical of us. As we walk, as we work, it's very easy for us to focus our minds, our everything, onto other things other than Jesus. You look at your problem and it becomes a big problem. You look at your needs, it is your need, and you don't see him. By the way, if you remember Mary in the garden when Jesus rose, she was there crying, and Jesus was standing before her. But she did not recognize him, because for her, the death, the missing body, the empty tomb was in her head. And she didn't recognize Jesus. What is that item, that situation, that is covering your mind, covering your eyes, to stop you from seeing Jesus, even when he's walking with you? It's my prayer that God opens our eyes beyond our problems, beyond our circumstances, beyond our issues, so that we may see him walking with us. And as he walked with them, he spoke with them. I like that relationship. He's not quiet as he walks with you. He talks to you. For example, in verse 17, he says, what are you discussing together as you walk? He's asking you, what are those questions in your life? What are those issues that you are grappling with in your marriage, in your relationship, at your workplace? What are those issues? And again, in verse 19, it says, what things, as they told, they answered him. But also in verse 25, he challenges them. He says, how foolish you were, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter the glory? So he was speaking with them. When Jesus walks with us, he speaks with us. That intimate relationship is very important. It's very encouraging. It's very uplifting. So I would like to encourage you, listen to him as he speaks with you. But also what I discovered, that these men, as Jesus was talking to them, they were honest about themselves. They did not hide their ignorance. They told him, yeah, we expected him. We hoped he would change. They did not hide. Don't hide. Typical human beings, we hide our ignorance, we hide our weaknesses, we hide our failures. These men didn't. And it was from that Jesus continued to challenge them. Sometimes when you walk with Jesus, he challenges us. Foolish? But he also told them, you are slow at heart to believe all that was prophesied. But the other thing, which I think myself, that Jesus challenged these men, they were forgetful. As Jesus walked with his disciples, he had told them about these things. He told them, I will die, I will suffer, I will die, I will rise. They had forgotten it. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, read this book and read it regularly. And keep this word, the words of this book, in your heart. There are many challenges, but there are also so many promises in this book. Read it. Keep yourself reminded of what is written in this book. Most of the answers, the questions that you have, they have answers here in the Bible. Read it. The disciples, these two men, were challenged for being forgetful and possibly not being reminded about the book. But as they walked, Jesus opened the word, again the book, to them. And he said, from Moses, from the Old Testament, he started from there until the death and resurrection. And when they reached where they were going, in verse 42, no, not 42, but 28, I'm sorry about that. That as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, say, stay with us. And that's my theme. Stay with us. There will be times as if Jesus has passed you, as if he doesn't hear you, as if he doesn't care, as if he's not there with you. Could you get that courage and call him, Jesus, stay with me? I know it's not easy sometimes. Like I said, sometimes you are engulfed in all your circumstances and situations and you don't see him. Be encouraged. He will listen. Jesus, stay with us. I usually think, I may be wrong, maybe this statement is the reason why these two men are recorded in the Bible. If they had not done that, possibly they would not have been recorded because we would not have heard about them. May you be encouraged in what you go through, in what you do. Call on Jesus. Come and stay with us. If the life, if the tide is so strong, just call on him. Come and stay with us. But when he stayed with them, he broke bread and their eyes were opened and they realized him. You do not realize Jesus until you have invited him in your life. But when they realized him, they did not just sit. He changed. I wrote here that he changed the direction of the life of these men. Instead of sitting and going on eating, they say, we go back to Jerusalem. And they went back. Jesus is ready to change your situation. But not only your situation, but also your direction. Jesus can change your values. This value system of people today, with materials around us, selfishness around us, Jesus can change those values. And after they were changed, they walked back to Jerusalem to witness and share. If you are a believer and you are a Christian, please don't keep quiet about your faith. Share it with others. Don't keep quiet. These men didn't keep quiet. Rose and went back. This one reminds me in Mark chapter 5, verse 19. When Jesus had healed that man who was demon-possessed, and this man thought, I will go on following Jesus wherever he goes because he healed me. And Jesus told him, go and tell others When Jesus saves us, when he changes us, he wants us to go out and share his love and message with others. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of Jesus Christ, who you sent to us on earth, to walk with us, to know our situations, because he really knows our situation. Who speaks with us, who challenges us, and who changes our situations. Lord, as we leave this church today, give us that word of inviting you regularly into our lives. Come and stay with me. Come and stay with us. Forgive us, Lord, when we have not invited you. Forgive us, Lord, when we have been adamant and arrogant. But help us always to invite you to sit with us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.